Welcome to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. I'm your host this week, Mitch Roy. And in the studio today, we have Matt Provost and guest host, Sean Tierney.
Round two, baby.
He's becoming more of a normal host as we go along.
I know. More normal host than one of the guys we have missing today, Manny Ray.
Where's Manny?
Both times I've been here, no Manny Ray. I don't even know if he's a host anymore.
No, I think you've taken his spot.
I think I've surpassed his attendance.
I think so. I mean, I know he was at a Fleetwood Mac concert last night. Maybe he's going for round two.
He's round two. Stevie Nicks did an encore show. Yeah, I think he's there. That could be.
If we're going to be honest, if I could get my hands on Stevie Nicks concerts, I would go two nights.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
That's true.
I heard some video. She, you know, sounded old as she is.
Yep.
But still, living legend. It's always great to see living legends in concert, like Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
He's pretty old.
Hey, he still has the voice of a young man.
Paul McCartney's amazing.
Yep.
But living legends, you got to see him. But Manny is actually at the gym, surprisingly.
Very surprisingly.
I have not seen any improvements.
I would have never thought that he'd ever seen one of those places.
No.
Yeah, or touched a weight or anything. But yeah, he decided that was more important than the show.
So. Oh, I pay $120 for a gym a month, so I have to go. Oh, no,
yep.
You don't.
Yep.
I'll give him credit. He could use it. So.
Yeah, that's true. He only throws 85. So.
Right. He needs to get the velo up. Our other host... Typical host, Jack Flanagan.
In Lansing.
He's in Michigan, yep. Fixing their water for
Detroit, Michigan.
Kid Rock.
Good song, yeah. Summertime in Northern Michigan.
Yep.
No, he's actually in a hockey tournament. Nationals.
Natties.
I'm pretty sure you can only call it Natties if you play hockey.
It's, all right, so let's hop right into our discussion now. All right, here we go. Big news coming out last weekend out of the LPGA. Lexi Thompson, one of the best female golfers.
Yep.
Hit the ball in a hazard, I think. She was up huge, had a huge lead, hit the ball in a hazard, whatever, no big deal. Drops it. Nothing, play continues, whatever, nothing happens. Next day, that was in the third round of the tournament. The next day, some guy calls in off his couch. Lexi Thompson violated rule 42.0, and, you know, she should be assessed a 2-stroke penalty.
So who says that? First of all, it's not that Lexi Thompson did anything wrong, because if you look at the video, I looked at the video like 5 times. I'm like, what did she do wrong? But this guy, like, first off, where does this guy live? What's he doing for a living? Watching LPGA, first of all, that's one thing. I don't watch.
That's his first problem. Who watches LPGA? Nothing against girls golf. I think it's great, but.
But it just doesn't have the same. It's not the headline grabber.
Exactly.
No, so you got to turn into ESPN2 for that.
Yeah. My questions aren't, where does he live? And who is he? It's who's his daughter.
Yes.
I mean, who calls into an LPGA tournament and complains about a rule unless it's a crazy dad who's got a daughter that he wants to see win?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I want to know who this guy knows, because he's clearly trying to get someone to win.
You know, like you see with all these stories, his name will come out in a few days and it's going to be something big.
Right. Yeah. And then the worst part about this was, so she didn't find out about this till after her final round. Where she was up big. She was up by, ended up winning by like 4 strokes, or would have won by 4 strokes. But because the penalty was assessed, she had to go to a playoff hole and lost in the playoffs.
So, how do you think this guy feels? You think this guy is like loving it every
moment? Oh, this guy loves it.
The guy definitely was not popular in school.
He's so proud of himself. Oh my God. This is his biggest accomplishment in life.
Obviously.
Yeah.
He's sitting at home thinking that whoever won, it's LPGA, I don't even know who actually won.
Not
whoever won will send him the trophy because I think he feels like he won it.
Yep.
And you got to give him credit, because I think he might have.
I think, yeah. Lexi Thompson up big just ruined it for her.
Probably did. All right. Sticking with the golf theme, we're going to get into the Masters, which started Thursday. Dustin Johnson, ranked the number one golfer in the world right now, had to withdraw from one of the best golf tournaments of the year because he hurt his back practicing Wednesday.
Kind of makes you think a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't, I don't know, right? Maybe he could have been doing something else.
So what was he doing when he was hurting
weights
his back?
Like,
could be a question.
Lifting weights like Manny? Or no?
I know Dustin
Johnson's had like multiple problems in his past too.
He has, yep. We don't like to talk about that, though. He's a great golfer.
Public radio, we can't talk about his problems. But we just knew that he does have problems just getting it out there. Kind of feel bad for the guy. Quick question, who do you feel worse for, Lexi Thompson or Dustin Johnson?
Lexi Thompson.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She won the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, Dustin Johnson hasn't won this tournament yet. He's just the best golfer in the world.
Yeah.
But Lexi Thompson won the tournament, and then they were like, no, you don't win.
Is Tiger ever going to be back?
That's the other, that was the other big news about this tournament. Yep. Came out last week. Tiger officially said he was not playing in the Masters.
That's like a ritual. Tyler's right. Yeah, Tiger says he's not going to play.
Yeah, okay.
Big health press conference for it, too. Sorry, guys.
How long before the tournament is it going to take for Tiger to say he's not playing in it? That's the question. It's just it's an over-under. Like, how many days?
Yeah, how many days?
I bet Vegas has odds.
And then how much does he cry? That's the other thing. How many tears?
All right. Moving on. Red Sox.
Yep.
Big Red Sox guys here. I don't know about Sean, but Matt and I are.
Yep.
I'm not.
No,
I'm
a you're not a baseball guy. No, that's all right.
Sean and I are also lax guys, but that's for later.
We'll save that for later. Yeah. So, baseball guys, Red Sox, 162-0. Are they going to do it?
I think so. They're undefeated right now.
As of today,
on pace,
Thursday.
On pace. If you're on pace for something, I'm a stat guy. That stat tells me if they haven't lost yet, then why would they ever lose again?
Sabermetrics here.
Quick sabermetric here. 2-0.
They're on track to be 162-0.
You can't deny. That's a fact.
Well, that's a fact.
I did take statistics last year at
AP Stats. They teach you that?
AP Stats. Yep. And I was taught that the Red Sox are probably going to win the World Series and not lose a single game this season.
Yeah, it's just based on pure stats.
It's science. Anyone who says no is just...
They're ignoring the facts.
They're a denier.
Just like Deflategate.
They're truth.
Exactly.
Completely ignoring the facts.
Deniers.
But yeah, so Wednesday night, we had epic walk-off home run from Sandy Leon in the 12th inning.
A little tired. Didn't finish my homework till about 12:30.
Yeah, but it was worth staying up.
It was.
Definitely.
It was.
That was a dinger and a half.
Oh, my God.
He sent that ball to the moon.
It was... And he's like, he left it middle. I had to crush it into the green monster. And I'm like, yeah, you did.
Sandy, only active Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, only active Hall of Famer hit a walk-off home run.
That's his nickname, only active Hall of Famer.
Hurricane Sandy.
Hurricane Sandy, that's another one. And opening day for the Red Sox, Benny Baseball, your boy, Matt.
Yep, my boy, Benny Baseball.
Three-run dinger to give him the win.
You saw my Snapchat story. Oh, man. I was I was filming the TV. I was pumped.
How excited? Like, on a scale of 1 to Flanny right now being in Michigan.
10.
Not being at school.
Flanny in Michigan. Flanny in Michigan. I love seeing guys that I met doing big things.
Benny Baseball, yes, you met him.
I was a security guard.
You're a security guard, yeah. Big, tough guy, Matt Provo, security guard.
Big 6'3", 140-pound Matt Provo being a security guard.
I'm not messing with him.
No.
I mean, considering all the people who were looking for autographs were about 5 to 120, I think I could take it.
All right, sticking with baseball here, MLB, opening day, Mets opening day, we had this fan who absolutely went berserk.
Frank the Tank.
On an interview with a news station in New York.
I wish we could get the audio for this.
I wish we could. I know. I wish we could, show you guys the clip.
Yeah.
But
this is radio, and that's
radio,
not what we do.
Bad radio,
this
we don't do
that. This would
be
bad radio if we said we're showing you a video right now, but you can't see it.
We should just show them the clip.
Hey, Sean.
I'll pull up the clip. I'll show everybody.
Yeah, so this guy, basically, his train got delayed to Citi Field, the Mets Field, and he went nuts.
Yep.
He was like, it's a tradition for him to go to opening day every year. He's like, I got to get there for the ceremonies. I'm going to miss the ceremonies. I'm going to be late for the game. And he went nuts. Like, his voice cracked. That was the most electric part of the thing. I forget what he said, but when his voice cracked while he was being interviewed, it was great.
And, once people become famous, they always do the little social media search on some. So someone did a little social media search on this guy. The guy wears bags on his head to these games. He's like a complete sports hardo. And he's he complains on Facebook, long paragraphs about how the Mets are like, does this guy have a job? Yeah. How is this guy paying for the train in the first place if he's, doing all this stuff all day?
Yeah. My only question is how much, if he really wanted to be there, he would have found a way to get there.
He would have walked.
First of all, because there are people that sleep out in front of GameStop for 4 hours or not.
Yeah.
Like 12 hours,
even
to
more.
To get Call of Duty. And this guy, was catching a last minute train to the Mets opening day.
Yeah.
He should have been there 3 days ahead of time with a tent.
Where's the dedication?
Honestly.
There?
If he was that much of a hardo, he would have done that.
He would have been there already.
Other thing about this guy, he's actually famous now. He's national news.
Oh, he was interviewing with A-Rod and other people.
He's
a
living meme.
Yeah.
You love to see it happen.
I love memes. I love to see big meme guy. Love seeing living memes.
Another guy who's going to be on TV a lot more, talking on TV a lot more, Tony Romo.
Tony football.
Recently retired from football to join Jim Nantz in the booth for CBS.
Do you think this was discussed before he ended his playing days? Or do you think he's like, oh, Dak Prescott, you know, pretty good?
I don't know. I think he knew it was an option.
You think CBS like, came, say, halfway the season game, like week number eight, hey, Tony, you're not doing too well. Next year, I think, you got you a spot.
I don't know if the CBS deal was, but I think his retirement was in consideration when Dak went over.
I think any star caliber quarterback has a job waiting for him at all the.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So, like, even the bad ones.
Even the bad ones.
Like, RG3, don't be surprised if you see him talking with Al Michaels next year because he's pretty bad and he's going to have a seat right next to him because he's a good personality, right?
Right.
That's why I'm here, because I got cut from baseball team. So I'm here and...
Oh, no.
Come on.
Come on now. Other thing here.
Washed up.
Phil Sims, everybody's favorite color commentator.
Commentator.
Color commentator.
Today.
I don't know what happened to him, because Tony Romo's just replacing him. So I don't know if he's like being demoted or if he's just...
Maybe he's dead.
If they just fired him.
Maybe he's dead.
Maybe they killed him.
Maybe he's now going to be doing LPGA events because LPGA is on the rise.
Exactly.
Everyone's watching Lexi Thompson, and everyone's really paying attention.
Lexi Thompson or that guy, whoever called in, put LPGA on the map.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was talking about that tournament until that. That was one of their majors, too, that tournament.
Really?
Going back to that. Yeah. And like nobody even knew what was happening.
Wow.
Except for the guy.
Except for that guy.
Except that guy on his couch.
Back to Tony Romo. How do we think he's going to be in the booth?
He was a warrior on the field.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, broke his back multiple times.
Big-time football guy.
Yep.
And so I'll take a football guy anywhere.
Yep. So. I think his commentary will be good. You never know. You never know with these people, though, because I never really hear Tony Romo talk.
Right.
His voice could be super annoying, and we could just absolutely hate him.
Where is he from? Is he a Texas guy?
Ooh.
Couldn't tell you. Hold on.
I feel like... I don't know. That's a very valid question.
Those Texas guys always got a few little phrases and way of saying things that just...
Tony Romo.
Always hits the spot Sunday football.
Yeah, always like it. Mitch, do you have where he's from yet?
San Diego, California. And then he returned, and nope, never mind. He grew up in Wisconsin.
So he's a hockey guy.
Yeah, he's a hockey guy, so he's going to be Doc Emmerich.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Joining Doc on Wednesday night rivalry night.
Exactly.
All right. Transitioning back to baseball here, college baseball.
College.
Big news. We don't talk about college baseball a lot. Doesn't get too much publicity, but there's this thing.
This thing went viral.
This thing went crazy viral. These frat bros from Texas A&M. Actually, I don't know where they were from.
Texas A&M, pretty sure.
They got.
Because they knew the guy's name.
Right. They must have, yeah.
They must have been friends with them.
They must have been from Texas A&M. They got the phone number to Texas A&M's bullpen and called the bullpen mid-game, said, yeah, get Minter warming up.
Get Minter warming up.
Get Minter warming up. They go. Minter's not in the bullpen.
And get him in there.
And the bros go, get him out there.
So the next 2 seconds later.
2 seconds later. Well, no, actually, before this happened, they were all like, oh, crap, we screwed up. Yeah. He's not in the bullpen.
Yeah.
They were all like disappointed. And then 2 seconds later, the TV zooms on the two guys, pitcher and a catcher, running out to the bullpen. Yeah. And they all start going nuts. It was great.
That's what the college experience is all about.
You love to see it happen.
Yeah, that's what the college experience is all about, right?
Exactly.
It raises issues, though, for the future, because these phones in the dugout, if any video camera person focuses on it, people can see what numbers they're
plugging. They'll get the number.
So people are going to, after this,
this is going to start happening a lot often. Yeah.
Whole can of worms right here.
People are going to be
getting
the numbers and calling everybody.
Get Benintendi in the bullpen. Get Benintendi warming up. See what they do. See Benintendi warm up the bullpen.
Yeah,
might happen.
So.
maybe a little different in the pros.
Yeah, they might see.
I don't know.
Benintendi going warming up in the bullpen.
But, hey, if you're behind the phone, yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the NFL. Richard Sherman.
Can't say I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. Never happened. No, he's kind of cocky guy. Big if true here. Rumors are swirling. If the Patriots lose Malcolm Butler, they would want to trade for Richard Sherman.
Is that the Patriot way?
I don't know.
Richard Sherman doesn't strike me as a Bill Belichick guy.
No, definitely not. Bill Belichick's guy
is humble, quiet, not a do-your-job guy.
Not that.
And Richard Sherman's also, you know, he's a Stanford guy, though.
He is. He's a very smart guy.
Maybe Bill sees that.
Maybe
Bill knows.
Bill sees different things in different people.
Exactly.
Other thing, too.
He saw something in Aaron Hernandez. Don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, Maybe, yeah, but he missed
or not. Maybe he too. Maybe he didn't see the things, but
maybe. Hey, it's football. You need violent guys out on the field. Maybe,
right.
Maybe he knew something.
Well, other thing about Richard Sherman, he might change his ways if he comes for Belichick. Like Belichick is
a lot of people
crap.
Have a lot
it could
of
be,
people.
It
have.
Could be the best or worst thing that happens to his
it
career.
It could be a success story because
part of Richard Sherman's play could be his off field. He gets right. in guys' heads before right. they even line up against.
Maybe
him.
Bill knows that. And he's like, I can sacrifice this guy for like, you know, I can take the heat.
Yeah,
and Bill will say, "Oh, my fault."
And the way the Patriots work, they just need 2 good years out of him.
Oh,
then
yeah.
he'll get
yeah.
bad.
They'll win a couple, two more Super Bowls.
Find a new no-name guy. They'll draft right. somebody, and they'll win.
Yeah, it's always like
exactly.
win the next
The Patriots
Super
always
Bowls.
Have that one guy every year. Just bring him in so we can win a ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
Chris Long.
Chris Long, bring him in so we can
yep.
win a ring.
Yep.
Right? And that he did. And now he's going off to Philadelphia.
Where he's not going to win a ring.
Good ring.
Hey, Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
He's...
Hey, good old...
All aboard the West Wagon.
FCS. Elite? Question mark?
Elite quote. That's a big...
He's no Joe Flacco, but he's on his way.
He's making his way up to that conversation. I know. Transitioning from sports here real quick.
We are a sports show, just to remind you.
We are a sports show, so we're... Just a real quick diversion here. Big news out of the Wheel of Fortune a couple nights ago. This...
I don't know if you guys were watching it.
Yeah, you probably weren't watching, to be honest. I don't know who watches that besides 50, 60-year-old ladies.
I mean,
yeah.
probably the same people that watch the LPGA.
exactly.
Probably. And, yeah. and the parents of whoever's on the show.
Exactly.
Anyways, the parents would be very disappointed in this lady who had pretty much Honeysuckle Bush spelled out for her, missing just like 3 letters. Like missing like the U and the H and like the O and the Honeysuckle or something. And she, the category was living things. She guessed popsicle bike.
Where but is that okay?
There wasn't a P on the board.
That's not a phrase either.
And it's not a living thing, right?
It's not. So, it's not even a living thing. That's not a thing.
It's not a thing. I don't know how
maybe
you can possibly
be.
Defend
maybe
this
it
girl.
Should be.
Maybe, yeah, maybe we can come up with something. Maybe the boys of the week can wind up and come up with something. But for all I know, that's nothing.
I mean, heat of the moment, you're like trying to think of something as fast as you can.
Yeah.
But...
Wait,
this isn't defendable in any way.
Popsicle bike come into your mind? I get nerves. I get stumbling on words. But popsicle bike should never be something that comes to your brain.
That's two completely different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never have anything to do with
it. It makes you wonder what her past was like.
Exactly.
those are major Freudian slips.
Yeah.
Right. You know, she maybe has some skeletons in her closet involving popsicles and bikes.
We never know. She's letting the world know.
She's sitting there. She has no idea what to say. The timer's ticking down. And she, in her mind, just is going nuts.
Popsicle bike.
Goes back to a dark place and it's popsicle bike.
Now maybe there might be a scandal coming up, too, with this. Like, you never know. Yeah. You
always,
never know.
There always is.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Wheel of Fortune. Is Wheel of Fortune rigged?
Oh, that's the other thing.
This is hypothetical.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
Is the Wheel of Fortune rigged? Like, did they know, like, they're lacking on the viewers? Like, did they just say, all right, you're going to get up there and you're going to say really something really stupid.
Yeah. But we'll pay you.
So we can... Right.
You'll get the money.
Oh,
you'll,
yeah.
you'll win
yeah.
and you'll get the money. And we can record another show where you win if you make it feel you better, right? You
right.
know.
Yeah. The other thing is we were just saying we've never heard a popsicle bike.
No.
But maybe this lady is an employee for a company
wow.
who's developed the popsicle bike.
Oh.
And
so it's like a Shark Tank.
So it's
like a Shark Tank.
Stay woke on that.
So now everyone's like, what's a popsicle bike?
Right.
Next thing you know, in a week, the popsicle bike will come out, new product.
And then
be flying off shelves
yep.
because of Wheel of Fortune.
This is just, we're just coming up with stuff. This is the content factory at its best.
The world's not what it seems.
No, it's true. We revealed that in show number 7, if you want to go back and listen to that one.
Shameless plug to show number 7, the last show I was on. It was
the world.
I'd like to think it was a gem.
You might think that the world is different, right?
Yeah.
You see the world from a different perspective after you listen to that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more from the Weekend Wind-Up on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Wind-Up on Bedford 105.1. We are here in studio with special guest Jack O'Donnell, captain of the NC State Wolfpack.
Hello.
His team is in the Biddy Basketball Championship on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So, Jack, let's talk about your season. What did it take to get here to the championship?
A lot of heart.
A lot of heart, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of my kids, like, a lot of people weren't drafting them because either their size, just, like, people didn't like them or just, I don't know, other reasons. And, like, I saw past that and saw these kids were hard workers and ready to go.
Yeah, your team is definitely a good team and definitely deserving. That's the one thing about Biddy this year. I think the two best teams are in the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt's going to try and say argue that the Qualies are the best team because they had the most fun. I'm going to have to deny that claim. But yeah, so you guys actually lost in the first round of the double elimination tournament. After you won the playing game to get into the double elimination tournament, you lost that first round game. And you had to work your way all the way through the loser's bracket, and you're now one game away from winning the championship. So talk about that road through the loser's bracket and how hard that was.
Well, I told the guys that, like, every single game we have left, like, if we lose one, we're done, and we have to fight. We have to keep fighting because for some, like, this is their second sport, and this is kind of, like, just something fun to do on the weekend. Right. But, like, it was important to a lot of them. I got a lot of competitive guys, and I told them that if we want to make it all the way, we got to keep working. We got a long way to go.
Keep grinding.
Yeah.
Sounds like you took it too serious, to be honest. To be completely honest, sounds like your team's not having any fun. That's all right.
So the first game, so the way Biddy playoffs works is you have to win one game to get into the double elimination tournament. So the first game...
Unfair, sorry.
Nope, that's the most fair way we could do it. The first game of the playoffs, you guys played Sean's team.
Yes.
Presbyterian College Blue Hose.
Yeah.
Sean, let's hear your thoughts on that game first before we get into Jax.
To be honest, it was so long ago. I was surprised to hear that Biddy basketball was still going on. But weren't we? I'm pretty sure we were up by like 2 points going into halftime at that game. We came out strong.
Yeah.
And were you there?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Must have made a huge impact. I'm sorry, just kidding. But but no, we came out stronger than we expected. You know, everyone kind of thought we would get smacked. And we put up a good fight. We had a good time.
I'm pretty sure the score was like 12 to 10 at halftime or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very low scoring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's once you kind of tune into the Wolfpack's Chino Hills style trash offense and just lobbing fast
cherry
breaks.
Picks. Yep. Yep.
That's
you know, we could slow them down. So if the Golden Grizzlies are listening,
probably going to beat them.
You've learned a lesson. Yeah.
Jack,
that'll be $10 for this guy.
So Jack, this idea of playing down in the game came up at least multiple times in the playoffs. So you're losing to Sean's team in the first round, and then when you played my team, you're down to us by I think 12 in the second half, and came back and won. So what? So is it you guys are just crazy resilient or
crazy out of our minds? And no, we just talk at halftime, talk about strategies, talk about like getting back in the game. Like our strategy against you guys was Kyle, like who's clearly your best player, no offense.
No.
We're just like, we need to get him out of the game. So we just kept trying to draw fouls from him and it worked.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We got him out of the game.
Fouled out.
Yeah.
That kind of was the end of our run. Yep.
All right. So we're going in. We had the game with the Golden Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. First playoff game. There was a little bit of a beef that game.
Oh, yes. A lot of beef.
You want to explain that a little bit?
So, Tim Green, he's an aggressive guy. He likes to... He's a competitive
kid.
He's
a football guy.
He's
a football guy.
Yeah, and...
Is Young Veeam a football guy?
Young Veeam just was getting a little rattled that Tim was doing good. And Tim, being a competitive kid, just started chirping back. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, there was like an almost scuffle in the parking lot where there was yelling. And...
Oh, yeah. It was not a nice scene in the parking lot.
No, not at all.
Tavim was assessed a technical foul during the game.
Mm-hmm.
Said if he says anything else, he's going to be kicked out. I think he said other stuff the rest of us didn't hear.
Yeah.
I think he probably should have got kicked out.
Had to be there.
Yeah, he had to be there. It was quite the scene. Yeah, and then afterwards in the parking lot, that was also quite the scene, but not for good reasons.
Mm. No, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in Biddy basketball. Honestly, like a scuffle in a parking lot over
Biddy
basketball.
Over
I've
Biddy
never
basketball.
Seen anything like that.
It's just...
It's a good thing that it didn't get to more than a scuffle, because based on what I know of the situation, it could have been bad for one of the parties.
Yes.
One of the parties is significantly bigger and had the entourage, quite the entourage with him.
Yeah.
Including a big older brother.
Cooper and Anibal, Liam Green, just to name a few. Just name a few names.
Pretty big guys.
Big guys. Football guys.
The other party is not a very big guy, and he was pretty much by himself.
Yeah.
His little brother.
You got to respect a scrappy
His mom,
solo
too. I think his mom was trying to hold him back. Yeah. I don't really know what to say about it because I wasn't there. I got to respect it. Shout out to Young Veeam.
Questions should be raised. Should Biddy Basketball organize a boxing match?
Oh,
big time bout. Between...
I thought you were going to say suspend Veeam. We've talked about that. We're going to give him a shot, one quick shot, and if anything happens, he's done.
Yeah.
But boxing match, I love that idea.
Yeah. Raise a lot of money.
Pay-per-view.
So this is a charitable event now, Sean.
A pay-per-view event. Give all the money to charity.
To me.
Or the winner.
Or the commissioner.
Do you have a charity in mind, Sean?
Make-A-Wish.
That's a good one.
A boxing match for Make-A-Wish. I love it, Sean.
Yeah. No, they're playing a good
Biddy Boxing, so we can try and set that up. Yeah. I like that idea. I mean,
we could have Falvey set up. He's really good at setting up Biddy
Leagues. Well, all right. Actually, that's happening this weekend. Look out for yours truly on the ice. To make a big... Big time showing for, I don't even know if you have team names yet, but for my team, I'm hoping to score a few goals.
Can you even skate?
Sean played hockey.
That's highly offensive. Wow.
Sean was a big hockey guy.
If you could be in this room right now, the tension in here just quickly tighten.
Cold War level tension.
All right. So to inform the viewers at home and you know, my fellow guest, yes, I can skate. Oh. I've played hockey for... 8 years, maybe. Nice. So,
yeah.
All right.
Still can't believe that comment.
Let's get this back on track
here.
We're talking about Biddy here. That's why we have Jack in. So a lot of your success seems to come with the success of Tim Green in each game. He's probably your best player, I would say. Pretty talented basketball player. It seems like he's either hot or cold. And when he's cold, you guys score 25 points. And when he's hot, you score 60 points. So do you think most of your offense runs through him, or how do you guys play if he's not performing to his standards?
So during the season, yes, Tim Green was like by far our best player, but what happened is like our team realized like when he's cold to like really step it up. And Jack Gunning, I think he heard me say that, like, I think Tim's the best on this team.
Yep.
And I think that kind of pissed him off a little bit.
Yeah.
And so throughout the playoffs, he just went off. Like, he's been going off for us.
He's the one who single-handedly, I think, put my team out. He's hit two threes in the final 2 minutes, I think, to put my team away. So that hurt.
Jack,
not gonna lie.
Jack claims it's what he may have said to Tim. I claim it's the double wristbands.
Oh.
Because that... You know, you can't wear wristbands and Biddy and not put on for your team.
So. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Double wristbands is major key.
Wristband wonders. That or a shooting sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
Shooting sleeve. Headband. I mean, headband's another thing.
You can't have all at once or else you look like
No, you can't have all of them.
Complete heart.
But at least one of them.
If you don't perform dressed up like that at a Biddy game, then you're, you know.
Jake Sarno, freshman year. Then I think he got bullied out of doing it.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty bad.
All right. So we're talking. All right. So you played the first game of the championship. You won the first game.
Yeah.
Came out of the loser's bracket, so you have to win again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to look to do anything different? You don't necessarily have to give away game plans here.
Yeah.
But what you did last time seemed to work pretty well. Are you going to try and stick to that, or maybe shake things up a bit, keep them on their toes?
I think we're going to come out, try to get in their head a little bit. They came out, they started playing chippy. People who I thought were my friends were getting up in my face talking smack. So looks like we're going to have to come out hard and bite right back.
Right. So we tried to get Reed Kirkpatrick of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies in the studio. He claimed, quote, he had too much homework. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Priorities.
But yeah, we would have had a little back and forth going.
Student athlete.
Student athlete. Always on the grind.
Always grinding.
But yeah, so yeah, there was definitely a lot of chirping going on last game. So you're going to look to continue that, aside from Taveem, who, if he chirps, is done.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other guys will be chirping A lot, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys can chirp back. No fist fights.
No, we're not going to start anything. Good. But if they come out at us, you can't just let them
chirp you.
Yeah.
Is this the commissioner condoning violence in his own league?
No. Innocent chirps.
I think what this is the commissioner making sure that any content like fighting that may occur and would definitely draw major crowds and views is not being done without money going into the league's pocket.
True. Yeah.
So it's a financial decision.
Corruption. We've talked about it a lot.
Oh yeah.
We all know this is the most corrupt league in the history of Biddy.
I agree. The Biddy All-Star game was a joke.
Yeah. So. We've covered that. I think we've killed that as well.
Like we talked about Tony Romo, you know, in the booth, Sean Tierney was in the booth.
Yeah.
For the Biddy All-Star
I was
game.
In the booth. Cause you know.
Yeah. You've had your fair share of injuries though. Maybe we
have. I I played every game of the season.
Maybe an ACL little thing called ACL
didn't slow me down.
No. All right. So Jack, any last thoughts about the championship game?
I just want to come out. I want to kick some butt, and I like considering that a lot of those guys are my friends. I just want to bragging rights for the rest of eternity.
That's what Biddy's about. Yeah. And then we got the big trophy. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Huge.
You get a nice plaque with your name on it. It's got my name on it. It's going to have your name on it. It's going to be great.
Shameless plug for the commissioner. Put his name on the trophy.
Jack Flanagan also got a plaque for being the producer of the year when he showed up to three games. Okay. Mitch, your name doesn't mean much.
It means a lot.
Oh, no.
I think the league appreciates me deep down. I think everybody's grateful, except maybe a couple guys.
I'm grateful.
Like hockey players, maybe. And people who may have not made the All-Star team that were a little salty.
I'm going to have to agree with that.
But otherwise, yeah, I think this year was a great success. 100% going to miss it next year. Intramural basketball in college is not going to be the same.
Timmy's going to pick it up well, though.
We covered this in the last episode. Tim's taking over the reins. Tim Saltzman's taking over the reins next year. I think it's going to be a good league next year. Hopefully it's as good as this year will be. Jack, good luck in the championship.
Thank you.
It should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Get up, grab a coffee,
come
to the gym.
Okay, never mind. I was just worried because 9 a.m., 9 p.m. Sunday is when the weekend windup is on the radio. So I was just a little concerned. You can listen to, you can do both.
Yep, Saturday listeners, tomorrow, 9 a.m., BHS. Be there for the best Biddy game of the year. It's going to be a good one. Thanks, Jack, again for coming on the show. We appreciate
it. Thank
you. Well, welcome back to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. Hey, what's this?
We got a phone call? Sounds like a phone call.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Flan, what's up?
Is this Jack Flanagan?
Jack Flanagan, host of the Weekend Windup, calling into his own show.
Wow,
great to have you.
Wow, at the Natties.
Yep, this is dedication right here. We've got the New Hampshire Avalanche in East Lansing, Michigan, or West Lansing. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings. I've got Dan LaBelle, the big guy from Cossack, and Patty Capsalis, the famous goaltender from the Salem Blue Devils, on the line with me.
Awesome.
Wow. That's big time.
So
are they getting scouted too?
Yeah, of course.
So let's jump right into this. So you're in Michigan, Nationals, Natties, as the hockey players call it.
What's that?
You're in Michigan for Natties. You're playing some games.
Not too bad. Sorry, we're in a Buffalo Wild Wing, so it's a little crowded. But what's up?
Oh my! See, this,
this
is typical
is
Jack
bad radio.
Bad
this is
radio.
Typical Jack Flanagan right here, calling us in Buffalo Wild Wings.
For the third time, I'm going to say this. You're in Michigan for Natties, Nationals, playing some hockey games, and some scouts came up to you and talked to you.
That's right.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think they were watching a different game.
Yeah.
And they got mixed up.
They definitely had the wrong roster. I mean, Lanny almost put one in on me today.
I almost had an own goal. Wouldn't have been the first time.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't know if you
Pinkerton
guys...
Pinkerton game? Did you guys get
I don't know if you guys got that Pinkerton game, but he scored the game-winning goal for Pinkerton that game.
Yeah. Congrats, Lanny.
Rough overtime loss.
They don't call me the best dipper in the state for no reason. That's a different reason, though.
All right, so what do these coaches talk to you? They weren't college coaches, right?
No, they were junior scouts. I mean, one guy was from the NAHL, which apparently lets all his players play for free, and they all go to D1. So
wow.
No big deal.
Any OHL scouts, any QMJHL scouts for you, Flanny?
What's that?
Any OHL scouts?
No, not up to that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Just wait.
But, yeah, word spreads pretty quick. They'll show up at your games pretty soon, I bet.
Flanny will be on the London Knights before we know it.
All right, so how are you guys done? How many games have you played so far?
We played one. We beat some Florida team 4-2.
Florida team?
Florida, there's hockey in Florida?
I didn't even know they had ice in Florida.
I know.
What's that?
this is brutal.
Flanny, you got to get better service next time. But we said we didn't know they had ice in Florida.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think it was actually their first time skating.
Yeah.
Is that why?
They're usually a competitive floor hockey team, but...
Hold on. Did Jack put two goals in for him? How did they score if it was their first time skating?
Yeah, how could they do this? This must have been Jack Lindigan's doing.
Well, when you have a seven net like Patty Capsalis.
Yeah, I heard that kid kind
of
sucks.
They left any of the two goals, so...
Jeez.
Got a goalie for that one.
All right, so you got... So you played this team from Florida. Any tough games on the schedule that you're looking out for now?
You know, we don't really know who else we're playing.
Oh, it's just kind of show up.
You just kind of go.
A good approach.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. No preconceptions.
It's kind of beer league hockey. See who shows up.
Suspended for a game or two for dropping some inappropriate names.
Who got suspended?
Jack McDonough.
Oh.
Did he?
Did he really?
Well, I mean,
he's also been active on Twitter while in Lansing. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah. So what happened?
I don't know. I just heard he was pretty ticked off about some stuff going on at school with his girlfriend and everything.
Yeah.
Let it rip at some kid.
And he got suspended?
For one game. But he'll be back. And, yeah, he's going to win at the national championship.
Wow. That's
what is it,
interesting.
Like, tier 7?
Yeah, what is this? Yeah. Junior Z?
Serious question, though. What tier are you guys playing in?
Yeah, what are you guys doing over there?
We're playing hockey. I think we've...
Tier what?
Yeah, tier
give
what?
Give us a number.
Please give me a number.
What?
What tier are you guys competing in?
I'm not really sure on the tier.
All right. Yep,
dodging
the question.
So it's probably like 10 or 11 or some low number.
11 tiers. Anyway, we got back to dinner. But it was great talking to you guys.
Goodbye.
It was good talking at you. We don't know if there was really much of a conversation here. We tried.
Great. Have a good night, boys.
All right,
yeah, you
Flanny,
too.
Thanks, you too.
Later, boys.
See
Bye.
You
guys.
Welcome back to the weekend windup on Dead Bird 105.1.
Yeah, what's up?
All right, so in studio with us today, guest host Sean Tierney. He is the starting goalie, captain of the boys lacrosse team, and Matt Provo, newly found lax guy.
I'm a lax guy.
Lax
now.
Guy. He is the manager of the girls lacrosse team.
Starting manager of the
is
girls.
Is that lacrosse team. Yeah. So? Let's start with that. Is that confirmed?
It is confirmed. I was at the scrimmage yesterday.
So.
Giving the people what they want, really doing the work that the people don't want to do, which is the main thing.
Yep.
People don't want to be grinding it out on the sideline, you know.
No way.
Brick by brick.
Exactly. I'm really building the girls lacrosse team brick by brick. Just kidding. No, I'm not. I probably ruined it.
So there was, at first, a little question mark whether or not you're going to be the manager. The coach was a little hesitant. She was like, so tell us about that, actually.
I saw some screenshots, some texts from a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
It said they were texting the coach asking if I could be the manager because I got asked to do it. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And she says, wait a minute, whose boyfriend is this? And I was like, nobody's.
You're like, Matt Provo?
Yeah, I was like,
girlfriend?
And then they had to convince her that I'm Matt Provo. And then when she met me, she's like, oh, okay, cool. I realize now this guy's nowhere near anything like that.
Oh, yeah. So she met you and everything was all good.
Everything was all good. She didn't bring it up to me at all either.
No.
Did she give you like a girls lacrosse IQ quiz before you?
I mean, she said, "Do you know what a ground ball is?" I had to say no.
I said, "Just you got to pick the ball up from the ground."
It is.
She asked me. Okay, you couldn't pull that one.
That was hard to figure out.
She asked me if I knew what a free possession shot was. I had no idea what that was. Okay, I figured it out.
Couldn't
That's
tell
pretty
you
cool.
That one.
I mean, I know what some of this stuff is, but to be honest, girls lacrosse is an enigma.
Really?
It is the most...
That's my sport now. That's my sport now.
It's the most perplexing thing I've ever seen. So I'm wondering, do you have any idea? Like, at the scrimmage yesterday, did you have any idea what was happening?
No. In fact, when some of them were standing right in front of me, I'm like, I'm sorry, I have no idea what I'm doing. I said, just a warning. I have zero idea. So I had some people help me out with names, because guess what? They had no numbers. Well, they had numbers on, but they decided to put pennies over it. So I couldn't see any numbers.
Yeah.
So I have no idea who's getting these ground balls, who's getting these, you know... these draws, who's getting, you know, who's really working hard. I had no idea.
I like the lacrosse lingo. You're already
he's
picking,
already picking
you're
up.
Already picking
the draw controls, the assists, the free possession shots. Oof. See, I'm already a lax guy. It took me one day, but I'm already adjusted.
Yeah. It's an inclusive community for sure.
It is.
Everyone's welcome.
All right. So the girls lacrosse team, Matt, how much do you know about it?
I said zero, Mitchell.
I mean, like, the players. Like, do you know, like, are they supposed to be good?
I was told by a source they went to the Final Four last year.
Oh, wow.
Don't know how
all
true
right.
that is. They could be lying, because they do know I know nothing about girls lacrosse, and they also do know I wouldn't do my research about it. So they could be lying. They could have gone 0 for last year, and I wouldn't know.
I think a couple of them are playing in college. Is that
correct? Yeah, I think there are a few.
Yeah, I think there are a few.
Kennedy Boyle, Campbell, Hannah McCarthy, Elon. I think that might be it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm leaving anyone out.
So, I know as much as you do, honestly, right? Yeah. So, I think they're going to go all the way. That's based on how they handled Kennebunk the other day, I'm going to have to
in
say.
In the scrimmage?
In the scrimmage where Kennebunk got eight yellow cards in the first half.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to say.
Hold on. What's a yellow card? What constitutes
a
yellow card?
I had to ask the ref. I said, are there cards in lacrosse? And the guy was like, There was an 80-year-old man. He's like, of course there are. What are you talking about? Like, all right, there are cards.
So is it like a foul? Like, you can't touch them, right? Isn't that a thing?
There was some serious contact. Kennebunk liked playing dirty. Kennebunk's a dirty team.
Yeah, the girls' game definitely is becoming more physical. But you can get a yellow card for some...
They don't wear pads, right?
No, pads.
So that's
just
the thing.
Just like goggles. Right. So it's...
No, typically when Kennebunk got a yellow card, they just kind of laugh it off and say, I did nothing. I literally put the stick in her face, and now that's apparently a yellow card. And I basically told them, they said, when can I go in? I said, go in now. I don't care. Because apparently I'm the one who's supposed to tell them when they can go in or not. I said,
responsibility.
It is.
Come game time, big games against Pinkerton, BG. Yep. You could really control the game with that.
I could. And the home book, if they don't know the score, if no one else knows the score, the home book is right. So I could mess up all the stats here.
So wait. So did you say you're in charge of like subs and telling people when to go in?
At least I had to during the scrimmage. The girls they come stand right next to me if there's a foul at the table.
Yeah.
And then they say, what time was my my card? I said, I have no idea. That's what I told one of them. I said, I have zero idea. I'm sorry. I said, go in now. and the coach said, you can't do that. So, you know, it's 2 minutes. You got to stay standing, you know. Figuring it out. I'm not going to try to throw too many games here. Not my job. Yeah. I came to manage, not to gamble.
So I feel like you could get a card for putting somebody on. When
I could. I was surprised the ref didn't pull a yellow card at me for not knowing what a ground ball was. I asked him.
I think you're going to end up with more yellow cards than anyone else on that team.
Honestly, probably Bedford got about one. No, they actually didn't get any because they faked the yellow card just because it was a scrimmage. They faked the yellow card. Play man down.
All right.
Sometimes you got to do the man down defense.
So was they really that bad? What was the score?
It was it was weird. So they played one like 20 minute half, and then they played a 25 minute half with like running time. Then JV played for 15 minutes. So the original score was like 11-1.
Oh wow!
Bedford's
good
going all the way
from the girls team.
Yeah,
I have to say, that's all I know about girls lacrosse.
All right, so that's good. We got some good stuff there. So let's move into the boys' season. Sean, you're the goalie of the boys' team, captain.
Yep.
Let's talk about how the boys are supposed to do this season. You lost a couple key guys from last year's team.
Yeah.
But how's the competition looking?
We definitely lost a lot of, you know, some of our big names from years past. But I think across the state, there isn't the firepower and depth of superstars that there has been in years past. Definitely still a lot of good talent out there. But I think this year we're definitely going to be a lot more, you know, balanced attack. Got to play as a team, hustle.
110%. Get the ball in the net.
Yeah. We won't be able to rely on our athletes to just put the ball in the net. We're going to have to play as a team and really focus up every game, which makes it fun because, you know, it's not fun when you beat up on the bad teams and then you get to the big games and, you know.
As a goalie, what do you like more? Do you like the exciting games? Do you like balls just coming at you left and right?
Depends on the day. You know?
depends what you're up for.
Because, like, BG game, it's easy to get excited for, and you want to see shots and make saves. But, you know, I remember last year, Friday, intercession, getting home off a bus from Boston against Merrimack. Don't want to see any shots that day.
No. So, a lot of walking, not down for, you know, catching some balls.
But, yeah, it's definitely... I think that's one thing that'll be nice about this year is a chance to there's a little more parity across the board.
That's good.
So we'll have more good games.
Who are the contenders? Like, we know about basketball, football, and all that stuff, but who are the contenders for lacrosse?
I mean, you can't talk about lacrosse without BG.
Oh, you can.
They are, you know.
They're there.
Rightfully so. They've gotten themselves a reputation as, you know, a powerhouse.
Yeah.
They recruit.
Illegal. You're not supposed to do that.
But they recruit.
I think their success speaks for itself and attracts good players. So, congrats to them.
Don't have to give them too much, but congrats.
But then Pinkerton, always a good team. They big school, always got good talent. They have a great coach, O'Reilly. He's been there for seems like ages now. Coaches football. Now the AD. So he keeps a tight ship over there and really coaches a good team. Then after that, I think you got us. We're definitely one of those top three teams.
I
think when you think of Division I lacrosse, it's kind of those three teams.
Right.
And then after that, you got a lot of good teams that any given year have good teams, can upset guys. A
couple good players.
Sauhegan, definitely.
Are they D1 lacs?
Yeah, they're D1 lacs. They have been for, I think, 2 years now. I might be wrong.
They have like 800 kids at their school. How does that even happen?
They got a good lacs program. They're good, for sure. They got a lot of good players.
Like, their baseball program can move up, too.
Yeah, their baseball program's good. I don't know why they haven't.
Yeah. So then you got Sauhegan, Exeter, who we're playing on Monday.
Ooh.
Home opener.
Opening day, Monday.
I will be there.
The turf is clear.
As a lax guy, I will be there.
Yeah. You love to hear the state of lax in Bedford.
The community's growing.
Yeah. Exeter. Then you got Londonderry. Hanover has been in years past.
Yeah.
So it's I'm trying to think if I'm leaving.
A lot of the good hockey schools must be also good.
Yeah, it seems like that's a trend.
Yeah, that's pretty solid trend.
And a lot of hockey guys, too, from our school play lacrosse as well.
Right? Like Colin, Eric, sorry. But
That's even a sore subject in my heart. Would have loved to see those guys on the team.
Eric called himself the ground ball king. Is this true?
They were out there hustling. Defensive middies is a thankless position in Bedford lacrosse, lacrosse in general.
Yeah.
But as a goalie, they're my favorite guys on the team. They are.
Really? Oh, yeah.
You think of grit kind of guys.
Yeah. You think like chaw in the mouth. You think like spit in a cup, spit some chiclets, you know.
That's a defensive middie right there. So, you know, would have loved to see him play, but unfortunate what happened there. But yeah, looking forward to a great season still.
Should be
good. A lot of competition, a lot of good games.
Good.
You know, going out every day just one.
Speaking of these good games, you guys often go to Mass, right, to play teams?
Yeah.
You doing that again this year?
Yeah, we got a couple big ones. We're doing the usual, like Lexington, who we've played the past couple of years, who, you know, we've been able to do pretty well against. Medfield, who's been a tough game, but we usually play them, you know, pretty close.
You ever beat them? I heard they're one of the best teams.
We came close to it 2 years ago, but, yeah, they, you know,
Do those count in the standings or no?
They actually do. Which
really?
Is something that I think recently that became a rule change that out-of-state games count to your standings. So it's a little bit of a, do you want to go out-of-state, play really good teams, and risk standings in the playoffs?
I feel like that shouldn't count.
It's a good experience regardless.
Right, though. No, but I think you should still do it regardless because regular season doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
Right.
But so then we got Lexington Medfield, and then Cape Elizabeth, Maine, who we've played
the
past couple of years. We'll be playing them, I think. They're a good team. Then BC High, who we played last year.
That's big time.
They're pretty good. They got good players. Yep. They got a good team. They played us pretty well last year. They
recruit.
They might. I don't know.
I'm just calling out stuff.
Yeah. Those mass prep schools are good in pretty much every sport.
Yeah. So so they're a really good team. They were tough last year. So we'll be seeing them again. We're making the trip. Then new this year, St. John's Prep.
Oh, really?
Massachusetts. Wow. They are, again, a very good Massachusetts prep team.
Baseball as well.
Yeah.
I know. Football, I'm sure they're amazing.
Don't really know what to expect exactly because we've never seen them before.
110% every day, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then just today, Coach announced to us that he got Lincoln Sudbury on the schedule.
Really? Is it like a co-op team like they have in hockey?
It's the high school. It's Lincoln Sudbury High School is the name of the high school.
Really?
Like Hollis, Brookline. It's one high school.
Yeah. So, and, you know, Coach Gerard told us they're not what they were in the past, which, thank God, because they – at one point, they were one of the, you know, top teams in the country.
So, really?
Yeah, Lincoln Sudbury's got a good program.
Wow.
So it's a lot of out-of-state competition, so looking forward to it. Those are the fun games because, you know, playing BG and Pinkerton, it's a lot of pressure. You know all the guys, and it's, you know.
And it might get old after a while, too.
Big in-state games. BG and Pinkerton and lacrosse, that never gets old. But you kind of go out of state, no expectations against big-time prep schools, and you can kind of just, as a team, we go out there.
Have a fun bus ride.
Have fun and just see what happens. And, you know, it's always fun.
So let's talk a little bit about your position as goalie.
It's a little different, right?
I, for one, would not want to be a goalie. Like, you got shots, like, ripping at you 90 mile an hour. And it's not like catcher where they're supposed to throw to your glove. They're trying to not hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do whatever you can to get in front of the ball.
Brick wall.
Yeah. Like you said, you would not want to be a goalie. Sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like I kind of was mentioning earlier, in big games when you're getting a lot of shots and you're making a lot of saves and you're feeling it and you're in the zone, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it's not that way. You're kind of out of it. You're just not feeling it.
Does shutouts ever happen in lacrosse?
It's rare. I mean, it's like...
it's so hard to catch a ball like it's coming so fast at you.
If you're playing a team that you're, like, destroying them, then there's the chance. But even then, it's like, it's, you know...
there's always going to be something.
In lacrosse, it's any little thing and the ball's in the net. But yeah, goalie's definitely an interesting position. It's tough, but it's very rewarding.
What's the fastest shot you've ever taken?
I mean,
there's the guy, Paul Rabel, right?
That's the guy.
But Sean's never played against Paul Rabel.
But I have played against some, like Sam Stanton, Dakota Clark, Colby Gendron. Those guys get it up to like 95.
Wow.
So I've seen them every day in practice.
Yeah.
So you take a few of those off the body and it doesn't feel too good.
How many pads are you wearing? Not a ton, right?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a helmet and like a big chest protector covers the whole midsection pretty much, and then gloves.
So nothing in your legs.
Nothing on the legs. But I mean,
all guts, no glory.
Well, you got to be able to move as a goalie. So it's kind of
true.
You don't want to be slowing yourself
down.
It's
not down. Like hockey. Yeah.
But what was it? Oh, the nice thing is at this point I've lost feeling in my shins.
Oh, there you go.
So that's good.
So when you get older, you're not gonna feel anything. When I get hit in the shins, it's like
whatever.
I know it hit me, but other than that, there's no other feeling.
If you wore shin pads, would that be frowned upon?
I mean, yeah.
That's a soft over.
See, I'm new to the game. It's a learning experience.
It's like in youth lacrosse, go for it. Get the kids' confidence up.
Right.
You know, get them moving to the ball. But in high school, you're wearing pads. It's, maybe you shouldn't be playing goalie.
Gotta look tough.
Maybe you shouldn't be playing goalie.
All right. Yep. All right. Great lax jack there with Sean Tierney and Matt Provo.
Mm-hmm. Lax guys in the studio
doing what they do.
Yeah.
Care to lax?
All right. And we're going to wrap this show up with a new segment on a more serious note here for us. So actually, Manny...
For us, keyword for us.
For us, right. Manny, Jack, and I, for our cast project for IB, we're going to use this radio show as a platform to promote how sports better society. So we're going to call this segment Kicking Some Casts, throw our little twist on it. Sean, you had a good example for how sports better society. Let's hear it.
So definitely from my experience as a student at the Bedford High School, an athlete, and a member of the Bedford community, I've noticed the ability for sports to bring together the community in within the school and the town as a whole. For example, as a member of the Bedford High School football team, Friday nights, it's a big town event. Everyone comes down to the game. We get a big crowd. The whole town comes together, supports the team. And as a player, it feels great to know that the town's behind us. And I know as a fan at hockey games, it's great to be on the other end of it, supporting our classmates and getting together as a peer group and supporting something that we stand for. So I think it's great as something for the town to rally behind. And think it really leads to improvement.
And I know baseball, I'm a baseball player, we don't get a ton of fans, but last year...
There are no bleachers.
No,
kind of tough.
Not a lot of bleachers, right? Not a lot of room for people to sit. But at the championship game last year, when we were playing at the Fishcat Stadium, we had a ton of fans.
Yeah.
And it felt great. Yeah. Like, to have the support of the community and know that there's a ton of people there cheering you on.
Yeah.
Like, not only does it bring community get together, but it supports the team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something that
self-esteem.
What sports is all about.
And at the games, you like you said, you see everybody.
Right.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone from school is there. And
everyone
and
their mothers.
You know, you maybe don't think these people would come out to the game, but everyone comes out and supports them, and it you know, feels great to have everyone.
All right. I'm going to keep things on the local level here with my kicking some casts. So recently, the Chad football game, which is a New Hampshire, it's like an all-star game, senior all-star game for the football players, where they get together, East versus West of in New Hampshire. They get together, play a football game, raise money for the Children's Hospital. So this overall, this is using sports to not only bring the state together at this game, I think they play it at Dartmouth.
It was the St. A's last year. It is the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth.
They moved around. All right. But this game is really what sports is all about. We love competing. We love being on the field. And to do it for a good cause, I think, is something that really helps improve society. And not only, I'm sure these kids are going to be thrilled. I know I think it's five players from our school that were selected have already posted stuff on social media saying we'd love it if you could help out. Any donation helps. And they're just really appreciative of the people who donate to them. And they are very grateful to say that they raised money for these kids who really need it.
It really is just a win-win for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Matt, you're going to take things on a more national level here in professional sports and what they do. So explain about that.
At least for me, you know, big professional sports guy, what I see is it's an outlet for people, right?
Yep.
People of all races, colors, creeds, nationalities, they can all come together no matter what, right?
Right.
As much as you see the, you know, the tensions, right, as we call them, the tensions may rise, but you'll always see them standing next to each other on the field, you know, working for the same common cause, which is something that is big. And if more people could play sports and, you know, get off the streets, I think that's a win for everybody.
Yeah. Definitely. Jackie Robinson played in the MLB long before anything else was
exactly
desegregated. Right. So. Exactly.
And it shows that, you know, sports it's an outlet, but it also shows a lot of people who may not have the platform to do it. If you're a good athlete, hey, Jackie Robinson had the courage. He did it.
Right. These professional athletes are like spokesmen for these sort of minority groups who may not feel as if they're treated with the respect that they deserve.
Yeah.
And I think
LeBron really outspoken on social media.
that's a little different.
We don't need more LeBrons. We need more doctors, lawyers.
But yeah. Oh, seriously though, I think these professional athletes who are open with themselves to the public, it inspires more people who are kind of afraid to be open with themselves to really be who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's cheering for them.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah,
right. You know? Exactly.
I got to give it to Caitlin.
Yeah.
I mean, like it or not, respect the decision or not, it takes courage to do that.
Yeah. And yep. A lot of people who felt the way she felt for years, right. Finally, you know, could come out about it.
Exactly. All right. So that's it for this episode of The Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. If you haven't missed any of the show today or would like to just listen to a little more, follow us on Instagram on @WeekendWindup. That's one word, @WeekendWindup. Or look us up at www.podbean.com on the 105.1 WBNH page. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And remember, Bedford,
stay classy.